Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another episode of Gate 7 International, your number one English source for all things Olympiacos. It's 10:45 Central European time. My name is Costa. I'm joined by our co-host from France, Martial, otherwise known as Olympiacos FR on social media. What's going on, everybody? Mixed feelings tonight from a game where we played against a team that is worth double our value in terms of market value on transfer markets. They're worth more than 200 million. They've spent a lot of money building a team, bringing in big name players with expectations to win the league in Turkey, get to the final of the Conference League this season. And, you know, today's game has ended in a 3-2 victory, Olympiacos' first victory in a European quarterfinal. And yet there is some bitterness, a bitter taste in our mouth at the end of that game. Is the glass half full or is it half empty? We're here to talk about everything that happened tonight. Martial, how are you feeling after the game?
Honestly, I will only keep the positive in mind because it's knockout games at the end of it. And what matters, it's going through. And we made it more difficult. There is no doubt about it with the two goals we hate after the 3-0. But someone just said on the comment, the away goals does not count anymore. And also, it's a victory into a quarterfinal first leg, and I will enjoy it no matter what happened in the game, how frustrating it can be. We have been waiting for games like that for the whole season, and I will enjoy that victory. Three goals into a quarterfinal, it's not something that happens a lot, and you know Olympiacos better than me. I don't recall not even three goals into a knockout games. We've been scoring like six against Tel Aviv, three against Fenerbahce, and it's the glass is full for me. There's no doubt about it.
Half full?
No, it's full, completely full.
Oh, okay. No, I think for me it's definitely half full, not half empty. I think we saw something from Olympiacos today that we haven't seen for a very long time. I think anyone that was in the Karaiskaki tonight had a really good time. The place really felt like it was jumping. And I think going into the game, one thing we definitely needed is that early goal to get the Karaiskaki behind the team, have a warm, warm, fiery atmosphere. And certainly, you know, getting that goal, I think it was in the 8th minute, helped a lot. Then, of course, second goal made things even better, and it was really a dream first half performance, going in 2-0 at halftime and then getting a third. Maybe let's take things one step at a time first. Thank you for everyone that's tuning in tonight, wherever you are, whether you're in Europe, whether you're in Australia, in Asia, North America, wherever you are, let us know where you're joining us from. Comment section is already getting going. I see a couple of people. Hussein was in the stadium tonight. Says, hello, everyone. We win again and again. Paris says, Costa spot on prediction. Yeah, I did say 3-2 going into the game, though I have to say I certainly wouldn't have thought we'd be 3-0 up. But I definitely had a feeling that this was going to be a game with a lot of goals. And that's exactly what we got today. Don't forget, guys, to hit that like button as well. It really helps the channel, helps the algorithm to find more red and white fans and bring them into this global red and white community. Subscribe as well if you haven't done so already. Hit the bell to keep up to date with all future content coming from Gate 7 International. Let's have a quick look at the comments. Concept Calcio says the glass was full, but Mendilibar dropped it, unfortunately. Subs were needed at 65th minute. Three up, Fred came on and changed things. We needed Orta and Ibora on sooner. And definitely, I think that's going to be one of the talking points tonight. Magnifico says, hello, guys. As a Galatasaray and Pau fan, I assure you, Fener is worse at home. Okay. Georgios Murzano says, also have seen no one mentioning it. What a performance by Kostas Zolakis. I think Kostas Zolakis even got the Karaiskaki singing his name at one point during today's game.
I think it was after a save. Not the one on the header, but another one.
He made a couple of good saves. Like, I mean, we can talk about Zolakis, but maybe let's take this from the top. What did you think of the starting lineup, Martial? There was a lot of talk during the week about, you know, whether Jovetic should start or not, essentially. And I think that was the only big question mark going into the game. Or were we going to play a 4-3-3 with a reinforced midfield with Orta, Chiquinho and Eze? Or were we going to play Jovetic in this formation where he's been playing on the back of El Kabi, or would Jovetic play on the wing? Like, what did you think of the lineup and the decision today from the coach?
The thing is, when Podence is out, there is no suspense into the lineup, because the lineup that Mendilibar chose was the one I was expecting, because Orta wasn't fit to start. And Jovetic has been in form for the last weeks. And the lineup was good for me. Probably the best we can field right now. The only issue I have probably would be over Retsos, but maybe we'll talk about that later. We don't have a lot of solution with center backs because Endoy isn't playing anymore. And Porroso leaving also was probably a mistake, because it's a solution less in defense. And but apart of that, Mendilibar barely has choices. What player he could have let on the bench tonight? Probably Masuras, maybe. But no, he had no choice. Like, the lineup was the one I wasn't expecting was the one of Fenerbahce, because the midfield of Fenerbahce was very weak tonight. The Zajc and Krunic. I was expecting Fred to start, and the other Turkish guy, I forgot his name. And the surprise were on Fenerbahce side, but a part of that, the lineup was good.
Did it remind you today a little bit of a Olympiacos Valverde type performance, like really, really intense, high press? You look at, I mean, all the goals that we scored today, they're from forced errors that we've made. You know, we've made them commit.
No, yeah, that's true, and that's why I'm optimistic too for the second game, because the goalkeeper looks super shaky for me. The way he passes the ball, I know Livakovic is a good goalkeeper, but he's required to play from the start, and he lost the ball many times today, and he's exposing his midfielder too much. Of course, if it's Fred, it's easier for him to not lose the ball, but it's too dangerous, and I don't see Fenerbahce changing the way they will play on the second game. So I'm glad the team took advantage of it. Like the first goal of Fortunis is what we need so bad in Greek derbies. Like, you know, punishing the opponent when he makes the first mistake. And that was a good shot. And it's needed since so long. I recall myself telling that on many shows, like, we are not able to punish the opponent when he makes mistakes. I don't recall what was the last game we bowled. That's Ike probably having many chances, losing it. And we only lost like one situation. That was the El Khabi's one. A part of that, we probably scored 3 goals out of less than 1 XG, right?
Yeah, there was a header from Carmo, I think, that Livakovic tipped over. It was quite a powerful header. But otherwise, I think I remember, Al-Kabi as well, the right-footed shot that he had. But otherwise, you know, we were clinical in terms of putting away the opportunities. And it's funny because the way we've played at Karaiskaki in these types of games, we've eaten goals. I mean, we ate a goal against Ferencvaros at home, but it was chalked off, if you remember, offside. True. And that was very early, I think the first 2-3 minutes of the game. Then against Tel Aviv as well, we ate an early goal. And it looked dangerous the first few minutes of the game today. They were dangerous on the counter-attack. We looked exposed. I remember already in the first 3 minutes of the game, there was a foul on Masuras high up on the pitch. And they threw the ball down the left-hand side. Tadic was completely on his own, played a ball over into the box to Dzeko, and Dzeko fires away a shot. And that, you know, it was quite scary the first five, six, 7 minutes. They were breaking quite fast and we looked a bit shaky. But then we forced that error. We did what we tried to do in the first few minutes of the game, where we just, you know, tried to force an error on Livakovic. Their defenders looked a bit shaky, Chaglar and Bekao. And Fortunis's finish, I think you're not giving it enough praise, man. Like, the guy struck it so well. It's hit the side net, like the side of the net. He couldn't have hit that any better in terms of where the balls ended up. And, you know, it's funny. You called it before the game today. You said that we're in for a Fortunis masterclass. Like, why did you have that feeling? Anybody that watches the show and knows your takes knows that you're not his biggest fan, but you said it before the game that this is going to be a Fortunis masterclass tonight. You're on mute.
Sorry. It's because I think he's more liberated when Podence is out, and also because the major difference I see between Podence and Fortunis is that when Fortunis is having a wonderful night, it puts the club on higher levels. Podence has been amazing since he's playing for Olympiacos, even in his first stint, but it's not very productive for me. Like, I think he has no title with Olympiacos because he left before winning the Greek League. And if Fortunis is lasting so long in Olympiacos, it's because he knows how to turn magic into something concrete, being the first goal tonight, a win, but also the win against West Ham, countless wins in Greece. And I do trust more Fortunis if he had to carry the team in Europe compared to Podence, even if Podence was key to qualify over Tel Aviv. And the big question for the second game will be for Mendilibar if he has to play Podence from the start. Because I don't know. I don't see Podence and Fortunis together being productive. And same applies for Fenerbahce with Tadic and Dzeko. I don't think you can go through a quarterfinal with two players like that on the same team. I might be wrong, but I just don't know why Michi, for example, did not came in. Because Dzeko Adiyevo, he wasn't producing anything.
But Shuai apparently wasn't 100% to play today. Because I asked the question to the journalist Rezan Yetish that I spoke to in the match preview, and I told her I was surprised not to see Batshuayi start. And she said that he wasn't 100%. And there's another thing, guys, going around. I know a lot of people on social media I see are saying that Fred is suspended for the next game. Not true. So no, Fred is not suspended for the next game. Would have been nice if he was, but apparently that's not true.
No, but I just want to add something. When you say at the beginning that the game went nice, and the game was exactly what I was expecting from Olympiacos and Fenerbahce, because even if Fenerbahce has twice the value of Olympiacos, at the end of it, they will always have a unbalanced team. Like, they will always have difference in terms of quality of players. from the defense and the attack. Greek clubs and Turkish clubs are so close when it comes to build a team. They just have like more money, more power of attraction, but the team they have built is probably the same as the one we had with James and Marcelo. If you take out both players, but there is no real logic. Like the difference between the midfielder when Fred came in, for example, that's why the game was so open to me. And I'm very curious to see the second leg because they have massive number of players on the bench and it's so difficult for the coach to choose. Yeah. And Dilba has no choice to make with the current squad he has.
Well, let's see. We can come back to that. We'll bring in Dimitris from the UK. Dimitri, how are you doing? And more importantly, how's your Wi-Fi connection?
Hey, guys. I think it's been about 3 or 4 minutes now that I've been waiting to come on where it hasn't crashed.
Okay,
so
good.
I think we might be good. I heard all of that segment without any lag. Fingers crossed. Let's see what happens. Other than that, I'm good. No, happy.
Is the glass half full or is it half empty or is it full, like Martial said?
100% half full. 100% half full. Closer to full than it is to empty. Because if someone had said to me at the start of the game, we win, then I would have taken that in a second. Do you know what I mean? It's just the fact that you're 3-0 up and then conceding two goals. And it's not like they were better and we were winning 3-0 because we were lucky. We were a lot better and they got back into the game through our mistake, really. It shouldn't have been. Like, the penalty just shouldn't have happened. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like they started knocking and they were trying opportunities and this, that. It was just an error led to the first goal, and that's when they got their advantage and started pushing on. So that's where the bitter part of the bittersweet comes in, really. And I think that's the same with most of us, isn't it? Like, most people would have taken, I think pretty much everyone would have been happy with a 3-2. 3-2 win before the game started. That's the issue. It's how they came about. That's the problem. I mean, yeah, some of us did predict it. Fair play. Impressive. Very impressive. Very
but I mean, we've got to talk about it because, like, I don't know what it is with Retos, but I've seen a clip of the penalty shout. Again, I've seen it 5 or 6 times. The more I look at it, the more I think, like, it's harsh. It's a harsh pen because he's already on the ground before he hits him. But I firmly believe that referee just wanted an excuse. He's gone in to kind of try and block the path of the ball going in for the cross. But he's barely touched him. He's already on the ground. And the referee doesn't think twice. It's just like straight away, boom. And I just felt like he was looking for it. But I don't know, like, it looks unlucky to me as well. It looks quite unlucky. And it feels like the lad's cursed or something. I don't know what it is. Like, whether it's injuries or whether it's just wrong place, wrong time. Because he was having a perfect game for me. Like, he was winning everything on Dzeko, like, in the air, on the ground. And then he just goes and does that. Like,
no, yeah, it reminds me of the PK penalties you ate on FIFA years ago when, you know, when you made a tackle and it sliced the players and the referee would give the penalty anytime. And it was so frustrating. But yeah, the tackle was out of the I just don't know what happens in his head when he has to tackle like that. But the same applies when he has one yellow card and he keeps doing fouls. It's so frustrating. I'm not even mad at Retsos. I would be mad if I didn't see any talent in this guy. I would be like, okay, why is the coach is playing him? But he has talent, he has potential. But it's not improving on the fact that he's making too many fouls, he's playing too harsh. I don't know why he keeps doing that, because it's probably the the fifth time is conceding a penalty this season, and no one, the club has to work on that, because mentally he will need to improve on that. And it gets criticized a lot due to that, and the club needs to protect him at some point. But how do you make a defender improve on that? That's the real question.
Dimitri, what do you think?
I agree with Martial on the fact that he's a scapegoat. But he's a scapegoat because he causes it. Like, do you know what I mean? This comment that we saw earlier, this comment here, he does these totally lunatic bar errors. Yeah, he does. Like, there's, okay, I get it. It's a harsh pen. People are saying it's harsh, but to me, it's a pen. Like, what are you doing diving like that in the box? Do you know what I mean? You're just giving them the opportunity to you're giving them the chance to have a penalty. Like, it's just don't dive like a fucking goat, like a criari. Like, what do we call a male goat? A stag? No, that's a male deer. You know what I mean? He's just not composed. He's not composed at all, and it's stupid. And then he gets scapegoated and blamed, even though he's had a really good game. I agree with you, Costa. He's had a really good game, and I don't like sort of blaming one player for bad results or mistakes, because the last thing you want is to jump down someone's throat. But it's stupid, and it's cost us. It's like Ndoye against Topola. Single-handedly cost us the win in that game. Single-handedly. I honestly think without Retsos's mistake today, that game would have been 3-0. Would have just ended. It would have just been the most boring last 25 minutes on the planet, because we would have controlled the tempo. They wouldn't have had any chances, and it would have been what it would have been. How does he change it? Martial's right. How does he change it? I don't know. He's not a kid anymore. He's 25. He's 26, right? He's old. He's not 18 anymore. Like, it's problematic. But yeah, I don't want to blame him too much, but it is his fault. Like, how do we get about that?
I think, you know, it's interesting we're having this conversation. Like, it's been another roller coaster season, and here we are, like I said towards the beginning of the show, like, we're down, but we've just won a game 3-2. And we're going into a second leg without away goals. We're going to be playing in Turkey, where I feel like this team, this Fenerbahce team, is under so much pressure right now to perform and get results. And I was thinking this going into the game, like, the amount of pressure those guys are under, not just like the context of the season and the investment that's gone into the team, but with everything that's going on behind the scenes. You know, I feel like I think we're definitely going to get our opportunities in Turkey against them. And I feel like a lot of the fan base is kind of down because we haven't got a clearer result. But ultimately, we've got a goal lead. They need to get two goals. And we're going to score over there. I believe that we are going to score. And I think... who was it that mentioned it? It was Lagis Gavalas. I think if Pedense was watching that game and looking at their defenders, he's thinking he's gonna have opportunities next game as well. And we have Labro Sirmos now joining from Hawaii. Or are you back in DC?
I'm back in DC.
What's going on, man? How are you feeling after the game? Like, are you? Are you chipper? Are you pissed off? Are you...
No, I'm bittersweet. I just... This guy, Retsos, just fucked us so hard once again. Like, how many penalties? How many red cards? It's three straight games in Europe with penalties. Do you realize that? Does everyone realize that?
Is it actually?
He gave one away against Maccabi away. And it was at home as well? Yeah.
He gave away a penalty at home too. Are you fucking kidding me? And people are like, oh no, it's soft. He fucking clipped him. That's it. That's the game. You, like, so many excuses for the fucking guy. Like, I can't stand it. You know, we were cruising. I just think it's going to be really difficult next week there. Like you said, the the pressure is on them. But Fred changed the whole game. Like, I think they're going to make changes to the midfield and to the defense, and I think we're really going to struggle personally. It's just a golden opportunity was let. Like, we were 90 minutes away from the semifinal, or were we like 120 away from the semifinal, 3-0 up. And he's just, yeah, just fucked it.
I think
it feels so painful, I think. Like, it's the same thing with the Tel Aviv game away, where he gave away the stupid penalty when we had all the momentum and we were like, fuck, that's it, you know? Whereas Javi scored the penalty and we just thought he fucked it again. And we pushed through and got through. And hopefully that's what the team does again. But the excuses are just insane for this guy. Like, just, oh, he's Greek, he's 26, he whatever. Literally, Meria did the same thing in the Champions League and was out in like 3 months.
Maybe it's a good luck charm.
I don't know. I don't know how you can keep playing him when in the league we need to win these games in the derbies, and every big game he lets us down, it feels like, with a penalty, red card, to shitty tackles. Like, how can you trust him? I honestly don't know how you can trust him. I'm happy we won, historic win. We're a game away from a semifinal, but you just feel this bitter taste in your mouth because you feel so let down by this guy again, you know. And it's just like, what could be an amazing game could be let go from that. But anyway, I'm worried because of what I saw from Fenerbahce in the second half. I think the changes made a huge difference, and I don't know. I'm worried about them.
The changes made a difference, but I think if there's one thing I'll criticize the coach on today is that, you know, I think we all agree the subs were late. But, you know, going into the second game, I don't think we'll line up like we did today. The lineup today was very attacking. Like, he made that clear in his press statement the day before that the intention was to go out and get an early goal and get the Karaiskagi behind the team and get that atmosphere going so that the home, like, we've talked about this before. Like, the atmosphere in the Karaiskagi, how it hasn't really been the same since before COVID. But everyone you talk to that was in the stadium tonight, they're like, the atmosphere inside the stadium, yeah, it was fire. Like, you could hear it.
Best game I've seen.
It from the television, right? Like, you could feel it. Like, the whole stadium, not just behind the goal, gate 7 and opposite. Like, everyone was up for it. Everyone was getting behind the team. Yeah, and that's important in terms of, like, the coach's choices today and how he set up. Like, most journalists you listen to in Greece, they were like, no, he won't start Jovetic. But he started Jovetic, and, you know, that was it took something away from midfield. But what I'm trying to say is I don't think he's going to do that in the next game. I think he'll, not to say he'll go more conservative, but I think he'll pack the midfield. I think Orta will play with the other two, with Hesse and Chiquinho, and he'll have Jovetic as an option to bring in later into the game. And Alexandropoulos hopefully will have improved his fitness by next week as well. And, you know, you start to have more bodies. But, you know, the big question mark is who, okay, maybe it's not a question mark, but who plays next to Carmo now? Because you've only got Doi. That's it. Abby's not in the list. Vezo's not in the list. And Doi hasn't played since, I can't even remember when.
Just play Doi.
You don't have any other choice, mate, unless you play Bora.
Like, no. Some people are going to be like, play people out of position. And it's like, no. I don't believe in playing people out of position. Just play whoever's a centre-back. They're professional football players. They should be able to deal with it. Like, if he fucks up, then that's on him. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's not an excuse, at least in my opinion. I don't believe in managers playing people out of position just to, like, suit the gaps.
He's got to play him. It was just the mistake here is bringing Vezo in when you had fucking Orozo already on the list and letting him go for no reason. You know what I mean? Like, that's what would you say, like 3D chess? Who would have thought we would get to a European quarterfinal in January? But you bring Vezo for what, to play one league game, half a league game, when you had Porozo, who could do the same thing and is in the European list when you needed him. So that's, what is it called, like when you have hindsight to tell you. But, you know, I'm not worried as much about Doi. The one thing I'm worried about is he hasn't played that many matches. But I'm seriously, with Retsos, I cannot do it anymore. Like, I do not see, I just do not, you cannot do it anymore. You cannot do it in the big games. You know what I mean? Like, you cannot. The excuses are enough. Like, I don't know how people can make more excuses for the guy. Like, I know he's Greek. He came from the academy. He was injured all the time. Now he's back. But has he improved at all? Like, that, has he improved?
He's worse than in the summer. So
he's worse than in the summer. In the summer, he wasn't making so many stupid decisions. And I'm just thinking,
he's so inconsistent.
The penalty against Freiburg too, how stupid that was too. How many stupid penalties? How many stupid red cards as well? Like,
I've counted it. I think it's two red cards this season, right?
There was a red card against Volos. There was a red card against Kifisia. That were just stupid red cards too. You're like, what the fuck is that? And cost the team, cost Diego Martinez his job in Volos, probably that red card. But I don't know. I don't know how, like, people in this club destroyed Ba, destroyed Cisse for all this shit. Like, Ba got red cards, made penalties, but like in three straight games in Europe, guys, like it's not heard of, three straight penalties in Europe. Like, it's insane. I don't know. And people saying it's not a penalty. What? What? It's a clear penalty. He clips him. He clips him.
He's on the ground already, man. He's on the ground already. But then
he dived in.
He's on the ground. He's on the ground. There's contacts, but he's already down. The way he's gone in, it gives the referee an excuse. That's it.
VAR cannot correct it because he clipped him as well. Yeah. And VAR, he clipped him. So VAR can't say it's a mistake, clear and obvious. He goes down in a heap. And VAR cannot correct it because he clipped him, man. And so, because they can't say it's clear and obvious because he's clipped him. So it's stupid to die. I don't know.
Anyway.
I don't really want to talk about it. Also, I think people are overselling Dzeko. I was surprised with Fenerbahce how slow they were, you know, like how slow they Dzeko had no press. Dzeko was tragic tonight, like could not press, could not. Tadic was fantastic for me, but he's just like, he's 36, 37 playing out on the wing. Like, the Tadic hold up play is so good, like his passing is great. But being out on the wing, it's just like he can't press. It's easier for our defenders to build up when you have Dzeko and Tadic. But go on, Marcel. Anyway, I'm ranting.
No, I was going to say, even if they have a massive squad, Fenerbahce will always be Fenerbahce at the end of it. There is huge differences. I might be wrong, and we will see that next week. But Bruges was probably the kind of team we can't beat because they have an average level between players. I don't know if it makes sense, but they don't have Fortunis and someone that is less better by far. It's more a team. And Fenerbahce, you see Fred coming in and you see the massive difference between him and Krunic and Zajc and those players. And same for the defenders. You have the one that came in as a left back is not really a left back. Yeah, it's not really a left back, right?
No, he plays left back for the Turkish national team.
Okay, but have defense. I don't know. This team does that make sense for me?
The central defender. The was he Brazilian? What was the last
Bacal.
Name?
Bacal.
Bacal was very average player, and Soyuncu is like a Turkish Retsos. I think Martial said it, like just complete body but shitty decision making. Like, I couldn't understand some of the passes and decisions he made. Also, some of the passes, some of the defenders played the midfielders with our players right on their back. Just played into the trap. It was like dog shit defending. Incredibly stuff. Like, I think this comment, is this true? Fred Ismail was made the difference in the sub. If Batshuayi plays at striker, we are fucked. Like, that's the thing. Dzeko is like a passenger, man. He can kill you in one moment in the box. But 90% of the game, he's a passenger, man. He does not press.
It's because he doesn't press. He doesn't run. He doesn't do anything. Yeah.
But he's never been good in the air. Like, he's a big guy, so everyone thinks, oh, Dzeko is good in the air. But he's never been, like, very good in the air for me. He's very good at finishing. But he's a passenger defending, you know what I mean? Batshuayi comes in, and that's a whole other dynamic you need to deal with for me. So.
He has his mind elsewhere anyway. Like, we took it away from the game super quickly.
Yeah, but I'm more worried. I don't know. After seeing that, I just think they have minor tweaks they can make.
But they have a shitty coach too. No,
yeah. I don't know why he didn't start Fred. Like, why? What the fuck was that? Like,
their lineup was a mystery, actually. There were a lot of question marks going into the game about some of their players. Batshuayi, even Soyuncu, Fred. They were all coming back from like injuries. So I don't know, like, maybe he's just keeping, like, actually,
haven't they not played in like 2 weeks? I don't know.
Rezan did say when we did the preview that there was a likelihood that Fred wouldn't start so that he could be in better shape for the return leg in Turkey. So, I think he'll definitely start. Ismail as well, who's more of a holding player. You know, that gives them an upgrade because it brings out the best of Szymanski as well. He's a very interesting player.
I like him.
But yeah, man, I don't expect us to play as open or like line up as open as we did, because like playing the way that we did, the high press, the intensity, I said it earlier to Marshall, it reminded me of Valverde era. Just like, you remember how intense we would go into the games. Like, really choking the teams and forcing errors and, you know, scoring goals like that. And that was really refreshing, man. Like, when's the last time we saw that in a home game? Just like Olympiakos grabbing the opponent by the throat and just being boom, boom, boom. Like, one, two, three goals, man. From the same kind of situations. Just like a press high up the field and then two, three passes, boom, goal. Not even. Like, the third goal is just a steal from Heze, makes a great tackle, one touch from El Kabi into Chiquinho, control, goal. That's it.
It's simple.
And same like Fortunis, like press, mistake, touch, boom, goal.
He tried to do this against Panathinaikos, but fucking Navarro is so shit. Like, Jovetic is the key player. Also, Fortunis, I don't think, started against Panathinaikos, if I remember. It was Podense. But, like, Jovetic in form fucking makes this formation. He tried this against Panathinaikos, and it went nowhere because Navarro is shit. But, like, when Jovetic is on it, connecting, it's different. It's a fucking different.
I said it. Jovetic, for me, was incredible. He was incredible tonight.
I agree.
So good. It's just that after about the 60th minute, he needed to get subbed off. His age, the position he was playing, we needed to shore it up. So that's the only problem. But it's what Costa's saying. He's not going to play. I don't think he's going to play him in the second leg. And to be fair, I can't really blame him. I'd rather play him more compact. You can't have this chaos that we had, because today's game was end to end. Well, mostly us attacking, but it was very open, especially in the first half. Like, it was very... It was a very up and down game. I don't think he wants that in the second leg. He wants to keep it as tight and as nil-nilish and as dead as possible. So I think it's more of a pack the midfield, or even if he doesn't pack the midfield, probably more of Masuras playing in that role and have someone like another midfielder in behind him instead.
I don't know what he does next week, to be honest with you. Like, I wouldn't want to make the decision. Whatever he does, it's going to be like, do you bring Podence in for Jovetic? Do you play?
It's Maccabi. It's Maccabi away lineup. Just Doi instead of Retsos.
So what? It's going to be Zolakis. Who? Zolakis, man. Fucking great. great game today. Can we say
let's
that?
Talk about yeah, this?
Jesus Christ, really that save against Szymanski. I don't think people thought that was a save. They thought he just fucking missed. It was a save. That was huge.
There were two or three big saves today, man. But like, that was huge. That one was massive.
He's so confident. What happened? He's so confident. Like, it's great to see things.
That's what happens when you get minutes.
I think he's a click above Pascal Lacroix as well for me. Like, his surprisingly, his distribution is like fucking good too. You know, his feet, you're not worried.
Did you see there were a couple of instances in like he's got the ball in his hands. And he's got Dzeko like a meter away from him, and he rolls the ball in front of him.
Yeah.
He rolls the ball in front of him, and then he just like unleashes a 60-yard ball over the top.
When Dzeko grabbed him a little bit, and then Dzolakis fell as if he'd been shot, and he was like, oh. And I was like, oh, you're such a cunt, mate. Get up. That was
literally
so funny.
I would just train Pascal Lacroix for penalties, be like, yeah, just in case it happens. Because I think, you know, we should do one of those, like, just be like, oh, be ready for penalties, man. But you're fucking done at the summer. So I'm thinking about Dzolakis, man. I don't know why. I was thinking about that game in Tumba he played in February of 2020 compared to, like, what he is now. He, like, looks like a man now. I guess it's been 4 years, but, like, holy shit. Like, the player is completely different. Like, he has grown. He's going to make mistakes. Like, he's going to make mistakes. Surely he will, but Jesus Christ, the confidence and swagger, even the game against Ludogorets at home where he was coming out and doing crazy shit, and we were like, get Vatchlik in there ASAP. I think the level is just, it's higher than Pascal Lacroix. I don't know. They made the right decision, and I still don't think that anyone has asked the manager, like, what happened to Pascal Lacroix. There was, like, a weird Nikolakopoulos article or whatever, so I don't know. Maybe no one will ever ask, but. Yeah,
but at least from what we've understood, Pascal Lacroix complained about a shoulder injury. He still went away to the national team, and ever since then, the manager's frozen him out. And Dzolakis has done well since being in. Like we talked about it before, like his distribution's improved. He moves the ball faster. Like his passing, like his distribution is better, and he's more at ease with his feet. And a Spanish coach wants that. I think if you guys remember the third goal that we scored against Maccabi, it was from a long throw from Dzolakis to Orta into midfield, like building up, and just he deserves it, man. For me, he deserves the number one. The question is, like at this point, we're talking about, you know, a keeper that's made a good performance today. Despite conceding two, one's a penalty, and then the other one, it's not a lot he can do there from that close range, but there are other clubs going to be interested too, huh?
Yeah.
There are other clubs going to want him in the summer.
He's going to leave on the free after finishing the season.
Who looked like the 20 million euro keeper, Livakovic or Dzolakis tonight? I wonder. Like, the World Cup playing goalkeeper. I don't know. He looked really good compared to Livakovic even. I was impressed.
I mean, Livakovic wasn't really at fault for any of the three goals, in my opinion.
I think his distribution, though, was a bit meh.
Nah, the Jovetic's goal is, I mean, he's fumbled that too, man. So it's not like Jovetic. Yeah, man.
I think Jovetic hit it closer to him than he thinks. So he sticks his arm further to make himself bigger, and it sort of skids under his bicep, under his tricep, under his arm. I think he's just unlucky with that, to be fair. But
at that angle, though, you would expect your keeper to save it, I guess, especially like a high-class keeper, right? You know.
I know, but I just don't think it's that much of a fumble. But anyways, it was a sexy goal, man.
We don't care.
Had me going, oh, it's like I can't believe Olympiakos scored a goal like that, to be fair.
Also, is it just me or the defenders are much more confident when Dzolakis plays? I don't know if that has to do anything. You look at the results, we haven't conceded more than one until tonight that he's been on the starting. I don't know.
No, yeah, you're kind of right. I think it has to play on Mandelbaum's mind when it comes to pick up the goalkeeper. Because the goalkeeper is not only the goalkeeper, is the leader of the defense.
I think Pascal Lex can learn penalties. That's what he should do next week. All he does is just save penalties. And then if it comes to it next week, they put him in.
Competition also is kind of good. Even if the goalkeeper position is difficult to handle, we didn't have any competition since probably the season in which we had Leali and Capino, and it turns out to be shitty competition. But still, you have to be competition in every position, because when we had Jose Sa and Bobby Alain, for example, the competition was over. And it costed us big time, because when Jose Sa got injured, we all remember what happened. But the same apply. And I don't believe Paschalakis can really improve by being number two behind Tsolakis. But probably Tsolakis can be better if Paschalakis is the number two and is pushing to play. I don't know. But it's only if he renews, which is still political, I don't know.
The worst thing that can happen in the summer is if both of them leave. If Zolakis doesn't renew, and then if Paschalakis leaves because he's pissed off.
Paschalakis renewed, so he's unfortunately here for me.
What if someone comes in for him because he's upset? Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to stay just because he renewed.
Like Nashville FC? Like, I don't know. Like,
mate, there's worse places to be than Nashville. Great party place to be in. I wouldn't be complaining.
Enjoy it there. I like my keeper. I like my keeper to be serious and organized. And Pascal Lex is a deeply unserious person. So, personally, I'm just maybe that's a bit mean. But like, I want my goalkeeper to be serious and composed. And Pascal Lex, whatever he is in his career, you can't call him serious or composed. So maybe that's a bit harsh, but I don't know. I think Zolex has stepped in and not missed a beat and been a level above. So I'm happy with him.
I think Pascal Lagis was a good keeper for us, or has been a good keeper for us, insofar as we've been a team in crisis for over a year.
Indeed. I agree with that.
He's served a purpose, and he's played his role, and he's had some big games for us. But even like those big games, like the European games in particular, it's like I'll think back to Freiburg last year when we played Freiburg, and like he wasn't eating anything until the corner in stoppage time. But otherwise, like in some games this season, against lower league teams where we've been at 0-0 and they've had, you know, they've cut through our defense and he's been 1-on-1 and he's, you know, made big stops. But long term, I don't see it anymore. As much as a fan that I've, you know, as much as I've supported him and I liked the transfer because I thought it would be good for where we were at the time, for me, there's no question anymore in terms of who's the number one.
Yeah.
We were saying before the game, like this could be the game that makes or breaks Zolakis at Olympiakos.
Let's wait for next week before we say makes or breaks. A lot more pressure next week.
Sure.
I think
there's more pressure on them, mate, than there is on us. That's my opinion.
I don't know how they flop. I just can't see it. Like, I can't see them flopping. I don't know why.
You think we can't score against that defense?
I think we can as well.
I think there another defender is coming back too. Martial, did you say this? Who? What's the guy's name?
Djiku is gonna come back, but it's not. Is for me is better than Soyuncu, or the other one that played Bekao, but it's not a. It's some kind of a Mukudi, like very physical defender. Is better than Mukudi, of course, but. On one game, he can eat many goals. Like, it can happen.
I'm also worried because, like, you can't go to penalties against Livakovic, I feel, as well, right? Like,
this game is not going to go to penalties. It's not.
No, I don't think it will either.
I can't. I can't handle penalties after Greece.
But we can't beat them in penalties with Livakovic, though. Like, if it does happen, that's one thing as well. Where it's like, fuck, if it goes to penalties, I don't know. But I think we can score a goal. It's just, can this team set up shop? You know, they say in the UK, like you guys would know, like set up shop. And like, if we score a goal and it's like, okay, let's set up shop and fucking win this
park
game.
Park the bus. But can we park the bus? Park
that the is bus. Not possible for the fucking club. I don't think we
have. No. Olympiacos can't do something like that.
We don't even have a defender to come off the bench. So it's like, okay, get another defender out there to help us defend. We do not have another defender. There's no setup shop. Even we, like, you could play Bora as like your third central defender if you're like desperate. But
I don't think you should do that anyway, man. Like, you're just inviting the pressure, and that's exactly what they want. Like, but they have the ball and they'll
But we've got to. I want to counter their fucking defenders so bad at some point, like Podence running at them with El Kabi, and it's just like, we cannot absorb pressure for a sustained amount of time. And this is like, it's been a problem for years now, like over 2 years at Olympiacos, like I want to say. So I don't know. It's just very disconcerting. If like, if we're up by one goal with like 15 minutes left in Istanbul, like, oh my God, like, there's no way we don't need a goal, right? That's kind of like, we need a two goal advantage for me to feel like we got it. You know what I mean? It's
there's a lot of quality.
I have to bow quickly. Just want to say bye. It's been a pleasure. Okay. Very happy with tonight's result. In the just remember that all of us would have taken the win, right? Don't be upset. I'm gonna get through next.
We have one goal advantage.
That's the bottom line. But yeah. Peace out and catch you next week. We don't have a game this weekend. So next Thursday is the next game. Olympiacos Fenerbahce tomorrow again, EuroLeague. That's another big one. But yeah, peace out.
Indeed. Bye. See you, mate.
But I don't know. It's just, like you said, like, we should be positive after this result. But it just, you cannot help but feel what we got robbed from. Like, we were so close to fucking doing it, you know. It's just, it was,
I don't think we were close to the 3-0, but it's, I think we take for granted that we wouldn't have eat a goal even without the PK.
Yeah.
And also it requires, as much as it's Red Sox committing the foul, it requires the opponent to be powerless for an entire game, and it's barely not happening in the quarterfinal. And I think Costa said something very interesting, is that the pressure will be on Fenerbahce because they play at home. They have their better squad since I don't recall when. They have to go at least into the semifinals. Otherwise, the failure will be massive, because look at the players they have. They are not supposed to play Conference League, and they are even not more supposed to lose to Olympiacos into Conference League. And if we are lucky to score one goal very quickly in this game, hopefully the atmosphere will be like hostile. We all know how it can be. It would be like, for example, us when we played Freiburg or Nantes, the Karaiskakis, for example. You don't expect anything, but it can get worse every time. And we have to benefit from that, because we will have solutions that time on the bench. We will probably have Masuras and or Podence on the bench, which is probably game changer, because we didn't have any offensive solution apart of El Arabi tonight. And I wonder if El Arabi is able to snatch a goal if we need to, because he's holder now, if I can say that politely. He's holder. Mm. He can hold the ball, but
you want it, it would be a beautiful story, wouldn't it?
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true.
But, you know, I feel like El Kabi surely got a goal in him. Like, Podence for me is going to... I mean, Podence hasn't played, guys, for over a week now. Like, he's going into that game fully rested. But that's those are the games that you want to play in. This is something we talked about in the last show too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
The one thing I think Martial mentioned too, it's like I think Greek football fans put Galatasaray, Fenerbahce, and Beşiktaş all in like the same kind of circle. It's like those are the big clubs in Turkey. But like there's a pretty big difference, I would say. Fener hasn't won the championship in over a decade. Like this isn't a serial winning club that kind of, you know, they have had their struggles domestically. Like if Olympiakos didn't win a domestic title, I when was the last time they may have won the cup last year or year two before, but like imagine one cup almost in 10 years. Like that's, you know.
The main difference for me, the thing that gives me optimism is Mendilibar against the Fenerbahce. I don't recall the name, but the Mendilibar being able to win knockout games compared to someone that has a better squad on paper, but probably has less resources mentally and tactically to win a second leg game when you lost 3-2 away. Because it will be about, of course, technique and skills, but it will be probably mental. Like, not if we concede the first goal of the game, for example, we need to stay focused, not lose the head and the mental. And I'm sure Mendilibar has a huge advantage over the Fenerbahce coach on that.
Yeah,
it has to play a part. And I don't know. I don't see lots of leaders too in Fenerbahce, because we've been saying that this Olympiakos squad doesn't have leaders when it's difficult, when you have to bounce back into a game. But without the penalty, which is a clear gift to the opponent, because you basically commit a foul that came out of nowhere. Like it wasn't even a situation for them. And that's they don't seem to have leaders on this team. Like you have Zeko, but I don't recall them like talking to the players after the 3-0 to say, okay, it's not over yet, we can do it. And because both teams are almost the same for me. Like we probably played the team that looks like the most Olympiakos in that competition.
I think that's fair.
It was like Olympiakos against Olympiakos with a probably better squad, but it's the same issues and the same strengths. And I've went on Twitter and see Turkish fan moaning because the coach played Zajc and Krunic in the midfield, and it would have been like Olympiakos fans moaning about Retsos playing over and over, and we all see what happened after that.
Yeah, I also was so surprised that Dzeko lost his head so easily, like that he was taken out of it, the game, almost like with the fans and showing them the shirt. And yeah, like, that's so unserious for such an experienced player. Like, I couldn't believe, like, Dzeko has some sort of complex playing Greek teams. Like, also against the Greek national team when he was playing for Bosnia, he would, like, lose his head. And
in the same stadium.
In the same stadium doing stupid shit. Like, I don't know if he has some sort of complex or something. Like, I don't know what his problem is. Like, for a guy who's, like, 37... It's just such childish behavior. I couldn't understand that. Like Dusan Tadic, you can say whatever the fuck you want about him, but the guy is class, you know.
He's class, man.
He's a class player. Like also Ajax like imagine being a Serbian guy and being like considered one of the best Ajax players like in the modern era. Like that doesn't happen, you know? Like that does not happen at clubs like Ajax. That's like old Dutch school type behavior. It's just the guy's class, he like speaks Dutch, you know. Versus Dzeko, which is just like, what is that guy, you know? Swearing.
The worst thing that can happen to a man.
But you know what I mean? Like, I also, can I say, the last time Doi played, now that we're talking about the central defenders, I feel like he played well. Was it under, I don't remember the game, but I remember thinking, oh, wow, Doi played kind of well. I remember. When was this?
Can't recall if it was a league game, but just to clarify, the only option that we have on the list is Doi to replace Retsos. Abi's not on the list. Veza is not on the list. and
Biancone's not on the list.
Biancone's not on the list, and the under-19s are playing next Friday. They're playing against Nantes next Friday in the semi-finals of the UEFA Youth League, which also means that if we want to pick players like Koutsidis or Kostoulas, that will mean that they won't be able to play in the semis or the final, because it's a final four format. So, I mean, he's going to have to actually. He's going to have to bring somebody from the under-19 squad, because he'll have Doi. He'll probably start Doi, but then you're going to need a centre-back on the bench. Unless you restrict yourself to going into that game with Ibora.
Also, I just looked. Last game, Doi played clean sheet 1-0 at home versus Fenerbahce with Carmo as partner.
That's the last game he played.
It's the last game he played. That was on February 15th. So,
wow, that's nearly 2 months ago.
Yeah. He played as a sub maybe in the league?
Wow. No, I don't remember him coming on as a sub any game. Wow.
He came in as a sub for Vezo in the 90th minute against Panathinaikos. That's it.
I mean, there was a lot of talk after the Maccabi game about his demeanor, or like his behavior in the dressing room when everyone was celebrating. Like, him and Pascal Agis were kind of in a corner, quiet. If this guy's looking for a response, to show the manager, to show the club that, you know, they made a mistake and that they should consider him more, then, you know, now he's got the perfect opportunity to do that, to show something next Thursday. I'm cautious about how that's going to go, but this is what it is to be a professional football player, man. Like, you get your name called up, like you're in the starting lineup, you go out and fucking perform, mate. That's it.
The thing I wanted to say on the defender thing is it's the same for the midfielder position, because something that goes quite unnoticed for me is when we decided to say to Madi that he's not going to be content anymore, we probably should have signed or recalled a player for the midfield, because we are quite short in the midfield, and Sotiris' injury came at the very wrong time. And what's frustrating is that we've made so many poor choices in the summer that we had no options to make the subs in the list, because we needed Horta, we needed Chiquinho, and we needed Carmo. But just imagine the list with Habi, Biancone, even Navarro on the bench.
Gelson Martins could be 30 minutes in Turkey. We needed a winger so bad to come on today, like so bad, yeah. But we just didn't have it. Like, the
if we lose the second game in Turkey, it will be because the summer market was shit. Let's say it, because to go further and into a European competition, you need a balanced squad. And we have it now, but we can't have it in Europe because there is only three changes possible.
We do this every year, though, I swear, where we...
What costed us?
You know, yeah. We fuck up and then we have too many holes to fill in winter and we only have three spots. Like, it's the most deadly rule of UEFA, that three-spot change. Like, it destroys clubs like Olympiacos that goes through so many players.
And I just want to comment on that. And that's just personal opinion. But Hazer, you let Maddie leave for $500,000 to God knows where club that wants him. But cutting him like that, it's good for the, I don't know, for the ego or for the to police fans. Mainly, but I'm not saying he's needed as a starter, but we had for me
off the bench quality, again. Madi Kamara, a fit Madi Kamara,
yes,
would have been insane. Like, he's insane.
Even in Greece, like, he's better than the Fenerbahce starters tonight.
Yeah,
he's probably better than the solution you will find in Greek clubs
in Triple League when you have to play, for example, if you're leading 2-0 or 2-1 against AEK Panathinaikos.
Yeah.
He's better than Sotiris, let's say it.
Yeah.
And I don't really buy the fact he doesn't want to play. He just want to leave and not renew. That's not exactly the same thing.
So much blame is on him and he takes blame too. But like,
when did he say he didn't want to play? Did he say that?
He said in the interview he wants to leave and the club punished him.
He wants to leave. He wants to leave on the free because he has a
breaking news. That interview he gave to the Ghanaian press was probably true and was killed by someone. But like him saying like I didn't want to renew or play for Nottingham Forest was probably the truth, and he got benched for this, you know. And so it's Olympiakos fans can be mad at like Mari Kamara for not wanting to play like a sixth year at Olympiakos. It's like crazy to me. It's like, mate, play one more year and renew. Like, the guy, what? I don't get it. But anyway.
It's kind of risky. I don't know. I don't know what you think about that, Costa.
The Madi situation.
He was a starter, man. Like, we're not talking about a sub. He started.
I think that player is just mentally gone from this club. Already when he left for Roma.
Maddie in the qualifiers, though, from the summer, he, like, got us almost to Europe, fuck's sake. Like, he was so good, man. He was so good in the summer.
Man, some of the things that I heard in the stadium when I was there for Genk,
I was there away from home with Genk.
Like, yeah, when we played Genk, it was the day that the thing with Huang went down. And I remember talking to some people in the press box, you know, talking about how much of a loss that is, and people telling me, oh no, Maddie's a much better player. And I was just like, really? Like, first of all, I don't think they're really similar in their play style and what they give on the pitch. I would have liked to see them both in the team in their prime. Mentally there, but just like with Maddie, it was just always. I mean, he came back this summer, and I think up until that moment, like where the Huang incident went down, I don't think he was really being called upon to play. Like, it wasn't even certain that he was going to preseason. And it's just not a healthy situation to have a player like that in the dressing room, who all of a sudden, from one, you know, at any point in time in the season, he's just going to switch off. And that's why I don't blame the club for the decision that they've taken, to the extent that he's not there. I would never play him, man. Or if I did, I'd play him for 5-10 minutes. Like, I would use him like we use Ibora now.
Yeah, maybe. That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
there's a difference between starting him every game as he did before we got Chiquinho and Horta, both better than him right now, and not using him anymore, and having Sotiris missing 6 weeks. When we
that was the killer thing. Like, if Alexandropoulos doesn't get injured, I don't think we have the conversation, because this guy Heze has played so well. If this guy was just like got injured or wasn't as fit as he was, none of these conversations would happen. Like, this guy has been so incredible. Like, I don't think he is holding it all together. I think has that people talk about Fortunis and El Gabi missing chances and Carmo very good, but Heze, man, has been fantastic.
40 games until now,
he's so fit. Like, how can he play this often? I just don't know. But
without the nose thing, he would have played 41 42 game probably
more. Yeah. Do you think transfer bids this summer are coming? For sure.
I don't know, like, how you're a team in a top five league and you don't go for this guy. Like,
But I mean, you know, we talk about the shit summer transfer window, but then you look at him, you almost think it makes up for it. But, like, you know, what a steal he's been.
There's no saving grace for deciding that Freira was your starting central defender and anchor. Like, there is no anyone who was like, he's like, get Jaime Freyre on loan with Retsos. We're riding. Like, oh my, I can't imagine like being in the room and everyone's like, we got Freyre. And everyone's like slapping high fives, like, yes, we got him in. Like, everyone's getting like hyped up. Like, you, we got our number.
You know what it reminds me? Like, I can see the headquarters of Pumas reproducing the scene on the Wolf of Wall Street when they have to sell the pencil like that. And yeah, it's frailing.
They're just like, he's great, he's healthy, he's left-footed. Like, people say Messi wants to play with him. Like, shit. And we were just like, say no more, we will pay the loan. Like, Jesus Christ. Now Freyre is like the disgrace of Inter Miami on like potato patch pitches. It's like the world has gone full circle with that guy. I don't know. But
I got a question for you guys. Like, yeah, we haven't talked about the two central midfield players enough today, like Chiquinho and Heze. And I think you're right to point out Heze. I thought he's been an unsung hero, like, for so many of these games. You can like big him up after every game, man. Like, the intensity and like the amount of tackles and like duels that he enters and wins, and just, I think he's involved in nearly all the goals today, like, in, you know, winning the ball up the field for the third goal. But my question is about the left back. I'm really like this close. I'm this close to saying bring back Oleg fucking Rabchuk right now and put him in the team, like, over this guy, because I don't know, man. Like, my patience is really wearing thin with Ortega. Every game you see it in moments in the game today. Carmo's just like looking at him and he's like, you know, like, what are you doing? Like, where's your head at? What about Richards? Do you play Richards next week?
I cannot play Richards in a 70,000 or how many people it is Turkish stadium for a semifinal, like, for the first big game he's played, probably. Like, can I say in his life, like, what big game has Omar Richards played, like, huge
game? He didn't play games at Bayern.
Do you think he played like against Borussia Dortmund or in Europe for Bayern Munich? I don't think so. Like, I understand the temptation, but I would want Richards to play domestically before you throw him into the biggest game. Is this the biggest game the club has almost played in years? This is for a European semifinal. Like, holy shit. Can we have some perspective on that? Like, this is huge. This is fucking huge. Do you trust him enough? Does anyone trust him enough to?
The thing, like, is,
I don't know.
I kind of agree with Costa on the risk that could be taken with Richards, but I don't know. Imagine if he starts and it turns out to be massive on that game. Like, we don't even have hopes of him staying the next season. Like, imagine if he's amazing in Turkey and he's finishing the season as a starter and he's not going to stay. Both the players and this transfer is so strange. We haven't had any information on his health. Every game he started were okay for me. Some of them were very good. Probably the last one, he was very good. And you just wonder, like, what happened with this guy in Olympiakos? How did he get there? Like, I know you get there because he's Nottingham, but there's no point. Like, it's not understandable. Is he a real solution for a left back? I don't really even know if Mandelibar considers him to start big games like that. Probably not.
I don't think he considers him. Right?
It's so weird. It's
also, how shocking was Keeney today? Like, oh my God, he's so fucking bad, man.
Almost,
like,
gave away a penalty.
He's terrible. He came in, almost gave away the penalty, and you're just like, for fuck's sake, man. Like, be useful, man. Like, what is the point of you? Like, you're 33 years old. You're supposed to be experienced, and he almost dives in for a penalty in the 90th minute. You're like, holy shit, man. Like,
it's, I just came back from Spain from holidays, and when you walk on the street, you see Kini's lookalikes every 5 minutes. You know, regular Spanish walkers that goes to work on a daily basis, you know, walking their children on the streets. And you have this guy is playing a quarterfinal with Olympiacos out of nowhere.
A Spanish waiter is like playing in the quarterfinal. Like, fuck's sake, man.
You know what makes me jealous with football player is how players like that will get a call from a manager they know, and okay, I'm just being hired by this club. Would you be in? And he's playing Granada, and you say, okay, Olympiacos is calling you. You don't get that in normal life. Like, you know, you have a shitty job, you're a waiter, and
you're like a second choice waiter, and then like the Michelin star restaurant's like, Kini, you're called up, baby, to like a Michelin star restaurant. He's like, wait, what? Like, I'm a backup at like taco stands in Galicia. Like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Fuck.
You remember when he landed at the airport? He was lost.
From the
beginning. I thought he was charming at the time. I thought, oh, this guy.
Yeah. But shit, I do like it looks like so nice. I can't be so mad at this towards this guy because he's probably a super nice guy.
Like explaining what's in the paella, he's like, do you know what saffron is? Like, you're like, oh wow, okay. Shit.
Oh my god,
got off topic there.
No, but it's okay.
It's like, do you know what shit defending is? Let me show you. Like, okay.
Oh dear. Oh well, we are 1 hour and 20 into the show, guys, and there is a poll going at the same time. Do you believe we can qualify against Fener and reach the semi-final of the UEFA Conference League? Had about 100 votes in. As a lot of you have come through the chat today via Twitter or X, if you prefer, YouTube and Facebook. Don't forget to like and subscribe. That's a massive help for us. Really appreciate all the support that we get, all the love in the comments. As well, keep that vote going as well. Okay, guys, let's start wrapping this up. Two more things. Man of the match, coach's grade, and then, you know, what do you think? Like, we got chances next week, yes or no? But let's start with man of the match. Marshall, let's start with you this time. Who's your man of the match and what's your coach's grade?
I will say Heze, man of the match. Most consistent player, not the most shining one, but the most consistent over the game. Coach's grade would probably have to be B. Good lineup, late subs, but he had no real options on the bench. So I'm not mad at Mandelibar. I still trust him massively to win this knockout because it's what matters at the end of it. So it's a B.
Okay. And you gave us your answer on whether you think we can qualify as well.
Yes, of course.
So yes from you.
Yes.
Labro.
I want to give, it's hard, Fortuny's first half man of the match, Heze man of the match for the whole game. Like, Fortuny's, what, like an amazing 45 minutes, and then 55, 60 comes, and you're just like, fuck, like this is 31 or 32 year old Costas Fortunis here. This is like, this is no longer prime Costas Fortunis who can go like 75, 80 minutes. It's just, and it was, yeah, it brought the team down. I give Mandelibar, honestly, I give him a B+. A lot of people were claiming for subs to happen sooner. We were running out of gas, but Horta back from injury. I'm just looking down that bench and I'm just, like, what do you want? You want Horta to come in for Jovetic? Okay. Like, the problem started to come because for me, some players were running out of gas and not tracking back. That's more so Fortunis, a bit so Masuras. He was slowing down a bit as well, but he had no one to sub him on. So I don't blame him. Alexandropoulos, you're going to bring him on? I don't even think he can play. I think he just put him because he's in the squad list. So, anyway. I'll say Fortuny's first half has a whole game. Mendy Libar, B+. I thought he was... Mendy Libar is so... He knows knockout football. I think I said this like in Fernavaro's game, post-game. Just the guy like smells knockout football. He knows what he's doing, which is very... Like people saying like, oh, didn't make subs, don't know shit about whether Horta is fit. They don't know shit about whether Alexandropoulos can run. So they're claiming for subs that they have no idea whether the players are even fit and ready to go. It's like complete bullshit. But anyway.
I haven't heard his full post-match comments, but I did read a headline that he said the subs could have come earlier. But I agree with you, man. Like, I think it was, it's a tough call when you know that those players aren't 100% fully fit, and Orta came on, albeit 10, 15 minutes in the game. It didn't look, okay. It's late in the game. You need time to adjust, but yeah, didn't look fully fit to me, but hopefully he's going to be there next week. Can we qualify? Yes, no? You think we can?
We can qualify for sure. I just think, it's going to be very tough. It's going to be very... I can't see a world where we don't concede and they don't concede, but it's just like what order and how many. That's kind of it's kind of where we're at right now. And I think it's going to be... There's probably more than four goals in this next week. It's just like, what's going to happen? Like, you can't see a 1-1 or a 2-1. Or even a 3-1. I think it's going to be whatever happens, going to be a lot of goals. So let's see.
We're in for a thriller next week for sure. My man of the match, I think you guys kind of done it for me. I think you said it well, Labro, as well. I thought Fortunis was a captain's performance, really. Goal, assist, like he dominated. He was the best player on the pitch in the first half in terms of the impact that he had. But it's hard not to talk about Heze, or at least for me as someone that's played central midfield. I really admire the chap, like young guy that's come in, and we knew that this guy's got a lot of character. What is he, still 21, 22 years of age, captain of an Argentinian club? And, you know, a lot of these players that we've brought in from overseas outside Europe, they normally have difficulty. But, you know, it shows that when you bring qualities, the quality is what you get. And, you know, what a signing he's been, man. I don't know how long we can keep on to him for, because just... There's, you know, players like that, they don't stay in Greece long. So enjoy him as much as you can. And, you know, Olympiacos fans should value what he brings to this team. The tenacity and the aggression. And just like you see, you guys can see it too. Like the mentality that this kid has. Like as a 22-year-old on the pitch, he's just like, no bullshit. No bullshit, yeah? I love it. I love it. So big shout out to him. And yeah, manager too. Like, I like the lineup at the beginning. I like the style of play. I love that, like, we've got another Basque coach that is playing this direct attacking football, high intensity. Even if that means that we suffer a lot in the last 30 minutes. And I said it before you came on, I think, Labro, it reminded me of a Valverde game, where we've absolutely choked the opponent for 60 minutes and then the last 30 minutes we've suffered big time. It felt so much like that today. But that's what Olympiacos fans want to see, man. Like they want to see the team doing what they did today, and it gives me hope in the long term, knowing that, you know, we haven't talked about this, but that he's reportedly agreed to that contract extension. And we know who our manager is going to be next season. And again, as bitter as I am with the, you know, eating the two goals and, you know, Eretzo's penalty and all of that, you know, I think we're all more hopeful than we were only, you know, a month and a half ago. Like, it was pretty bleak for us. And now we're, 90 minutes away from a semi-final.
I still think we can do it in the league too as well. People, let's, like, we play like we played today. It just, Navarro, fuck off. Like, just disappear. Like, forget he's there. And I think these players can make a push, like this sort of Jovetic style can go for it, you know? So, I you know, all eyes are on Thursday. We have no game this weekend. So, let's put that to the back of our minds. But I think we have a formula to push for the season, you know? And like every other Greek team at this moment, we have our goods and we have our bads. In any game of the week, we can be talking about a great win, or we can be talking about a fucking Retsos penalty or red card that costs us. So it's it all, like, I'm just thinking, if we don't qualify next week, I'm just like, this guy, just like Bakasetas let the country down and for the Euros, like, Retsos is going to let this club down, like, and it's going to be remembered for a long time like that. So
that's a good conclusion for me.
I just devastated. Like, I'm still just so upset that we may have lost. Like, we're in it. We were up a goal, everything, but we were in a historic opportunity to qualify, and he let the club down. Like, just so devastating. But we beat the horse dead on that. So,
anyway, let's at least wrap up on a positive note. Olympiacos win, first win in the European competition quarterfinal, and it's all still to play for. Very much open, and we have the lead going into the return leg. Anything else, guys, before we wrap up?
The players just need to believe that they can do it. Doi needs support to work on it. Paskalakis needs to work on penalties. That's all he needs to do for the rest of his career. And, you know, we go for it. We go for it. I the biggest question for me is, like, I don't know if I would start Podence and Fortunis together, but we'll see what he does.
Yeah, we should enjoy that win until the second game.
Yeah. And there's so many difficult decisions though next week, like, for the manager. I wouldn't want to be him, to be honest. I can't tell you what the right decision is, to be honest.
The big thing is, when we lost, for example, to Wolves, I knew something was, like, broken or done that we could not reproduce, because the team we had at the time looked like so much a team that wins a Europa League. But if we lose to Fenerbahce, I wouldn't be as mad as the Wolves defeat, because I do believe this team has chances to play Conference League next season. And we might not go into quarterfinals again, but it does not produce the same vibes for me, because we have too many, we still have lots of work to do with the squad. And I do believe we will get more opportunities in that competition compared to the Wolves tie in the past. But it does not mean we don't have to believe that we can win this, the competition, I mean. But it's different sensation. I don't know if it makes sense.
I get it.
Wolves is today, for me, one of the most painful experiences.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Yes. Part of Olympiacos died that night.
Yeah.
Part of it.
Yeah. No, that's a bigger conversation, but yeah.
Yeah, why?
why bring... Trying, I feel this... Find...
No, but I thought about that tonight, because I was like, okay, it's possible that Fenerbahce wins this game and go through, but it's logical at the end of it, like it was to lose to Wolves, but the team we had at that time was perfect, almost from the summer. Like, we barely had any winter transfers, and like this, it's more like a miracle that we can fight for a semifinal place this season. So
just
maybe that will make the difference. Like, no one believes in it compared to the Wolves tie.
I'll just never get over the three penalties in a row from a defender.
Scarcer and Malaga, we beat that to death. Like, come on.
I'm like, if next week we don't go through, I'm just gonna sit here and just be so devastated. And like, I'm not gonna let the guy down. Anyway, we're gonna go through though. We're all gonna forget that penalty and that he almost fucked us, and we're all gonna be okay. So
let's we'll go to Birmingham with Retsos and Doi after Carmos picks up a yellow card.
Oh my god. Oh my god. That was the famous Bakla Topola back line that got the red card with Doi.
Anyway. I think we've done the rounds on this. It's past midnight Central European time. Yeah. Thank you so much to everyone that's tuned in wherever you are. If you haven't hit the like button yet, please do. If you appreciate the show, help us to find more Olympiacos fans around the world. Subscribe if you haven't done so already, and check out our Patreon as well if you're looking for more content from Gate 7 International. There's some exclusive interviews, exclusive content that we develop for Patreon members. There are different tiers. You can join our WhatsApp group for $1 a month, extended content for five euros a month, and €10 a month is the merchandise tier as well. So go check that out at www.patreon.com/gate7international. Go and check that out. All right. We'll see if we can get a match preview going for the next game, but there's no game this weekend in Super League. But don't forget, tomorrow Olympiacos play Fenerbahce in the last game of the Euro League. Let's see where we finally end up positioning in the top six. We've got a secure place in the playoffs, so no play-in, play-out. It's fifth against sixth tomorrow, Fener and us, and let's see who ends up getting the higher position. So check that game out tomorrow night, and we'll see you guys this weekend on Sunday Night Live. Kali nichta.
Κάτι μαγικό, όπου πας εσύ, θα με πάντα εγώ, θα σου τραγουδώ.